Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Very grateful to be here with you all this morning, and that last song that we sang there is a lot of what's on my heart this morning. Hearty obedience. As in that song there, it says, "Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me." And in verse 2, it starts with, "Bless thou the truth revealed this day to me." And it's acknowledging that when I read the word and I see the truth in it, then I have a decision to make what I'll do with it. Thou art my life. And verse 3, spirit and life are they, words thou dost speak. I hasten to obey, but I am weak. Thou art my only help. Thou art my life. Heeding thy holy word, I win the strife. We realize that, and too often, it seems like we think there's another way, or by the way I may live, too often may show that I think there's another way than heeding the word of God. And I guess God has left us His Word and for our instruction, for our own good, that we may win the strife, that we may glorify Him and spend eternity with Him. And so my burden for this message has come from my own needs this morning. My own needs as a father and a husband, as I consider my life and our life as a family, and endeavoring to do God's will. I think of my life and how I try to communicate obedience to my children, and I just had to think of at times we tend to try to communicate obedience, but verbally, but maybe am I missing it in missing living it out? And so that's kind of where this message has come from. And I, as I considered the scriptures, I came to Philippians 2 there. I'll read verses 2 through 12. Verses 2 through 12 there in Philippians 2. I'm sorry, 1 through 12. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The verse I'm focusing on is verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ, he said at numerous places that he came not to do his own will, but his Father's. And hopefully I can try to communicate what's on my heart. I think we need to obey, even if we aren't feeling it right at that time. I think the Word of God calls us to that. But I will endeavor to learn of that, the full-hearted obedience that drives us far beyond the minimum. That empowers us. It's not just going, yes, the minimum, but it's going the extra mile. And it's a lifestyle that in men of past and the Lord Jesus, how they obeyed in matter of life and death situations, especially even the Lord Jesus, he came. He was obedient unto death. An obedience that my children have no question of the love of God in my heart. It's not a carnal, live to the letter type of obedience. But it's an obedience that empowers us and drives us, and the fruits of the Spirit shine forth. Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, oh, forsake not me utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. And hereby we, 1 John 2, and hereby we do His commandments, that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. So there in verse 5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And that's part of what's also on my heart is we are born again in God's mercy and His goodness, and that's the beginning of our journey. And God wants to continue to perfect me and to make Him more into His fullness. And so I very needy here this morning, and just very thankful for each one of you brothers and sisters, and that we can walk together and be perfected together, and we can open up our lives and share with one another. And Romans 6:16-23. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thought I was blessed considering that, and we were servants to sin, but now we're servants to righteousness. And we used to we yielded ourselves and we obeyed our flesh and the evil one, but now we obey God. And now we're free from death. So very thankful for the goodness of God in freeing us. And as we endeavor to live in righteousness, it says, And you become servants to God, and ye have your fruit unto holiness. And in the end, if we continue in that, as servants of righteousness, in the end we will have everlasting life. But that is if we continue in that. And by God's grace, we will. There's a quote here from Andrew Murray that I have appreciated. A Christian must not ask if a task is easy or natural, if he likes it or if it appears possible. His question must be, what is duty? What has God commanded? There is a wonderful strengthening even for the weakest character in giving oneself to the divine ought and must of God's will. Nothing so invigorating as a hearty effort to obey. I guess it's my desire to, you know, to full-heartedly obey the Word of God that I understand and that I know, and not to try to manipulate my way out of things. And I think once we start down that way, it's hardly even a slippery slope, but it's more like a cliff, because we see all around us of people who try to talk themselves out of things, out of what they see in the Word of God. And so I pray that somehow that these thoughts would be an inspiration to all of us to endeavor to full-heartedly walk in the commandments of the Lord that He has left us. And I know that's each one of you all's heart here, and I'm very blessed with that. But it seems like there's a secret there that the Lord Jesus and some of old have, and different people that you've read about and you see, thankfully you see around still, that have learned just full-heartedly, see, as we read it, just embracing it and walking in it and allowing God to change us, but not resisting it, not kind of holding it at arm's length or stiff-arming it, but just receiving the Word of God with gratefulness, knowing that He has left it for us to empower us unto righteousness. As I considered my own life and, like I said, endeavoring to minister and to our children, the need for obedience, and I just wondered, you know, is my level of obedience, does that affect their level of obedience towards me as a young child? Is my level of obedience toward God, does that affect their obedience towards me? You know, do they maybe sense my love for God? I trust they do. So I trust if they can see the love of God in our hearts, and that His Word directs our lives, and He directs us and empowers us each day, that they'll want to serve the same God. And what if I'd only apply part of God's Word? Could that be considered partial obedience? And is that obedience? You know, we say delayed obedience is not obedience. And I had to think of that for my own life. Do you have a heart of cheerful earnest obedience towards God's Word. How is my obedience towards others that give me instruction? May it be my employer or a co-worker, do I receive of that with charity? And what about the local city or county ordinances? Am I cheerful in obeying those if they don't cause me to sin? It seems like there can be a heart in us, or a streak in us at times to just kind of resist it. And it's if I communicate, if my children would catch that in me. God forbid that would ever happen, but I know these are areas that I can grow in. Here's another quote by Andrew Murray. Many hear the truth, but are never purified by it, because they will not submit to it nor obey it. The Spirit of God is the great agent in the purification of man's soul. The Spirit convinces the soul of its impurities, furnishes those virtues and graces that both adorn and purify, such as faith, hope, the fear of God, and the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. But thanks be to God, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we're very privileged that through His obedience to the Father, not my will, but thine. I pray for that heart of obedience for my life. And you brothers have all been a rich blessing to me and to our family. And we're very blessed and thankful to walk with you brothers here. And we truly do look forward to walking with you all in the future, endeavoring to show forth the glory of God where we can, each one of us. God bless you.